Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very special welcome to you this morning from Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, September the 12th, 2005. Great new day in store. In fact, let's have a quick look at the weather.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, it's 63 degrees. Downtown, 62. Anderson, 62. Also, Clemson, 62. Today, mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 80s and northeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour.
Sounds like a good day to me. I'll tell you what, a lot of things going on in the news this weekend. Thankfully, no nuclear attacks or anything else on September 11th, although Al-Qaeda operatives are threatening once again Los Angeles and Melbourne. As if they haven't done such things before. Who knows if what's going on there? But at any rate, in Washington, their battle begins over Justice John Roberts today, and Bush is going to see if he gets confirmed before he moves on to the next one to replace Rehnquist. But anyway, that should be an interesting time, to say the least. Of course, we don't have a whole lot of confidence in John Roberts here. Looking at his past records, we see that he supports pro-choice or pro-abortion rights. And his past arguments before the Supreme Court, we also see he's against private property rights, according to the Pacific Legal Foundation's research into the man's past work. So, at any rate, we have some dire concerns about this particular man, as you know. But that's going to start today. It'll be interesting to see what he actually has to say. Arlen Specter already said he's not going to ask him about what he thinks about Roe v. Wade. Of course, Arlen Specter loves abortion. He's an abortion advocate, to say the least. Abortion rights advocate, I guess technically to be correct. And so he's not going to bother asking because he knows what John Roberts is already all about. He's not just doing a favor to G.W. Bush. He just knows where he already stands. There's no point. Well, we have a couple of emails that came in. I thought I might tackle those directly. First off, he said, this is from Chuck. He says, "Hi, John. I was impressed to read in the Wall Street Journal a eulogy of William Rehnquist, giving him more credit for defense of federalism than I'd realized." Of course, he has the link here, which I won't read out to you. But he says, "The article is an non-accredited opinion piece gave hope that W. will appoint another justice in the same mold, that being Judge Roberts. Let's hope and pray that they have it right. We don't need any more suitors on the bench in Liberty, Chuck." Well, it's interesting to see that indeed is the case. I don't know why in the world we could expect George W. Bush to give us anything other than a suitor. And I agree with you 100%, Chuck. We don't need any more suitors on the bench. It's very dangerous to have these kind of people up there. Of course, our American liberty has deteriorated just so much in recent years that nothing that would go on like this would really surprise me. But at any rate, at this point, it looks kind of like Justice Roberts is going to be the kind of man we're going to get from George W. Bush. So appreciate your concerns about this, and I indeed have my own about this latest appointment coming up. Here's another email this morning from Charles. Charles says, "John, what will you do if you see armed Mexican troops rolling through your backyard disarming people? I just heard a talk show host announce that he will shoot any Mexican troop, Blue Boy troops, if they are in, it's United Nations troops, if they are in his backyard." Well, Charles, you know, I have to say that if anyone tries to disarm me, and I've, you know, especially when I've not done anything wrong and I have no reason to be disarmed and they're just assaulting me, I would defend myself, wouldn't you? Let's say you're carrying around your weapon with you and all of a sudden somebody comes up and tries to take it away. Wouldn't you defend yourself against such a thug? It doesn't matter if he's a Mexican speaking to you in Spanish and wearing fatigues, or if he has a, you know, United Nations cap on or whatever it is to designate the United Nations troops. Who cares? If there's still people on your territory trying to disarm you, then defend yourself against them. Wouldn't you do the same if it was an American military person trying to disarm you? What would you do then? I guess that's a bigger question. Would you be willing to start a war and shoot American soldiers trying to attack you? Well, that may be what it comes down to, but that's the ultimate question. It doesn't matter if they're Mexican or United Nations or otherwise, does it? I mean, maybe there's some slight difference if those people came over here and did that sort of thing, like they are. It seemed to be down in the south of the border, or southwestern United States. But a bigger question for us would be, I guess, what will we do when our own troops try to disarm us? How can we allow troops of any kind to defy our rights as Americans under the Second Amendment? I don't think we can. You would have to take a stand against them at some point, and that's the only response I can give you, is that's what I would do. Of course, it's going to cost you your life if you do that. Those are well-trained soldiers, no doubt, and they're probably going to kill you. So I guess even a further question is, are you willing to die for your right to keep and bear arms? I'd say most Americans are not. Most Americans that I can tell are not. They'll talk big, but when push comes to shove, they're pretty happy with their six-pack and their TV and their football games and everything else we enjoy. And, you know, it's just not worth fighting about, and they'll probably give up. Now, I know there'll be a million Americans or more that won't, but we're a drop in the bucket compared to the masses of the 300 million who will. That's my thoughts on it this morning. If you have a different thought, by all means, give us a call at 864-244-8177, 864-244-8177. You can also try our backup line at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. I also had a third email this morning, came in from Sean, apparently a new listener. And Sean said simply this: great show. I look forward to learning more each morning. Well, I appreciate that comment, Sean. And in fact, we enjoy having praises or encouragements from folks all the time. And we get them weekly, and we like to read them on the air, and we like to receive them, just because it is a lonely world out there when you're trying to fight the good fight of faith, so to speak, in the realm of trying to educate folks on the theology of public policy, the Christian worldview, and take a stand for what's right. Because there aren't too many people who are willing to do it, and fewer who are willing to support it. And it certainly stirs up a hornet's nest, and a lot of people just don't like you anymore when you take these kinds of stands. So it's good to know that we have a lot of listeners, and a lot of people are hearing the truth. Here's a quick announcement. Don't want to forget this. In fact, I'll announce it a couple times today and tomorrow. Tomorrow night, we have, after CAFTA, the Free Trade Area of the Americas, World Government is the Goal. And this is a dinner speech by John F. McManus. He's an experienced speaker of the president of and the president emeritus of the John Birch Society. He now needs a national effort to stop the FTAA. And CAFTA, of course, already passed barely through President Bush's finagling with his clowns called Republicans in the House of Representatives, including our local rep here, Bob Inglis, who's supporting all sorts of socialism, globalism, abortion funding. He's really shown his true colors. Time to get him out of office. At any rate, there's going to be a dinner speech on Tuesday. That's tomorrow night, September 13th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Greenville Hilton Hotel. That's at Haywood Road and I-385. Speech tickets are $10 each, or two for $15 if you're going to bring someone with you. And you can also go to stoptheftaa.org and find out more about this. But if you can, try to make it out for the dinner speech on Tuesday, September the 13th, 7 to 8:30 p.m., Hilton Hotel, that's tomorrow, Haywood Road and 385, 10 or 15 bucks apiece. Try to come out and hear this talk about the FTAA. Free trade, so-called free trade agreements, have done nothing for us other than to create more socialism, globalism, and defy our constitutional rights here in America. We need to be on the watch for this, for sure. All of our events here in the upstate are located for you on the tyrannyresponse.com and tyrannyresponse.net website, except ones that we get late like this, that the FTAA one won't appear there, but other ones will. And this week we have several events going on. If you simply go to tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com and click on the events tab, you can scroll down and find out what the local events are. We have descriptions there of all the meetings and so forth, and then a calendar at the bottom. And you'll find if you take a look at the calendar, this week we have on the 12th, we have the Carolina Patriots, and they're meeting in Knoxville tonight. If you want directions on that, you simply need to go to the webpage and call somebody to get up to the Knoxville meeting. We also have the Asheville meeting tomorrow night, conflicting, of course, with the FTAA CAFTA meeting. Thursday night, there's the League of the South meeting. Hope you can all attend that at the Woodruff Road, or Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road in Greenville, across from the Greenville Mall. And Friday night, the Carolina Patriots meet in Fountain Inn, down off of Fairview Road in Fountain Inn. So those are our events on tap for the week, and we hope you'll be able to attend at least one of these events and make a show for liberty. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And this is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. Also making a call for more volunteers to help us out here at the Tyranny Response Network. Remember, this is a volunteer-run organization, and we want to encourage you to go to the website if you get a chance and click on the Contacts tab. If you click on the Contacts tab, you can scroll down and find the email links to Chuck, Brad, Mark, or Richie. Click on one of those names and give them an email. Send them an email, that is, and hopefully they'll be able to get in touch with you shortly about how you might contribute a few hours of time a month. If you have a technical skill or the ability to are interested in producing a radio show, we'll be happy to hear from you. So by all means, do so. Well, we had a few other things going on in the news today, I think, which are worth doing. Let me find a current article. You know, this article was sent in by someone named David. I think we went over some of this article, but it's worth reading some of this again. And that is that New Orleans or Katrina and the problems in New Orleans was not a natural disaster; it was a man-made disaster. The man-made disaster is not an inadequate or incompetent response by federal relief agencies. It was not directly caused by Hurricane Katrina. This is where just about every newspaper and television channel has got the story wrong. The man-made disaster we are now witnessing in New Orleans did not happen over the past 4 days. It happened over the past 4 decades. Hurricane Katrina merely exposed it to view. The man-made disaster is the welfare state. For the past few days, I have found the news from New Orleans to be confusing. People were not behaving as you expect them to behave in an emergency. Indeed, they were not behaving as if they behaved in other emergencies. That is what shocks so many people. They have been saying, this is not what we expect from America. In fact, it is not even what we expect from a third world country. When confronted with a disaster, people usually rise to the occasion. They work together to rescue people in danger. So what explains the chaos in New Orleans? Well, it's the welfare state, the people's dependency and entitlement attitudes. People believing that government is going to take care of them from cradle to grave. The building up of projects like levees and so forth by government intervention, which fail. This is what led to the problems in New Orleans. And we appreciate David sending in that article, and we agree 100%. That is the real that's really the problem. That's where things come down. That's where the rubber meets the road, as they should say. Well, here's another article from LouRockwell.com. Illegal immigration is black market labor. This is by Alvin Lowy, Jr. Illegal immigration is black market labor. Lamentations over the horde of illegal immigrants, into this country rarely take notice of the fundamental cause. Even trained economists are guilty of this particular oversight, leaving out the most significant term in the immigrant supply and demand equation. While the immigrants flaunt the virtually unenforceable U.S. entry laws, their employers flaunt the unenforceable U.S. labor laws. The situation is a classic example of the rule of law, economic over political. There's a shortage of labor in this country. There always has been. In a more primitive time, it was an excuse for chattel slavery. But such a shortage is symptomatic of a growing economy, usually considered a boon to humanity. Nowadays, the national labor shortage is exacerbated by government price controls on labor, such as wage and hour standards and union shop statutes. In addition, government subsidies, draconian birth control measures, including late-term abortion and other means of discouraging domestic population growth. Thus, even if the United States was alone in the world, its growing economy, as long as it lasts, will likely produce shortages in the supply of labor. At the same time, such shortages contrast with surpluses in the legal demand for labor, as evidenced by the government's unemployment statistics. However, the United States is not alone in the world. The labor shortage in this country has come to the attention of people in other countries where economic growth is unknown. Many of these people are attracted by the opportunities afforded dignified and economically rewarding employment that is out of their reach in their own country. The situation is evidenced in part by rampant but illegal hiring of illegal residents in this country. Minimum wage and labor standards have priced labor out of the market for economically marginal jobs because of competition from welfare and unemployment entitlements. This is a classic case of price supports leading to surpluses, subsidies leading to indigence. The labor surplus is evidenced by persistent unemployment of people who can live as well or better on welfare handouts than on legal wages for work they might not even qualify to perform economically. So that's where the black market comes in from. He closes by saying, Nature has ordained that labor is an economic commodity. It has its price like anything else. The price of labor is a cost that must be covered by the price of goods and services it produces. Consumers accept or reject these goods and services at the prices offered, to the delight of or dismay of the producers who hire the labor. Economists attribute this grave mischief to the popular misunderstanding of pricing. Especially egregious are the consequences of labor price ignorance. Generations have been ideologically corrupted and economically injured at the hands of so-called progressive labor politicians. Immigrant life and death is daily detesting labor price fallacies. That was an article posted on LouRockwell.com on September the 8th. Again, illegal immigration is black market labor by Alan Lowy. Well, he's right. There's no denying what he's saying economically, in terms of economic theory. In fact, I was thinking just the other day about the immigration crisis and the so-called invasion. You know, the vast majority of people, as far as I can tell, that come over here are unarmed, ignorant, poor people. You know, it's hardly a fighting force that's invading us, that's going to, like, take us over. I realize there are some who are doing that, but they're what, 1% or less of the total people coming across. The vast majority of Mexicans that come over here live in a tranquil life. They don't bother anybody. They know they're not in their own country. They go out of their way to pay their rent in cash on time. They they work. That's the truth of the matter. Now, whether or not they should be here and taking away other people's jobs is another question. Whether or not they truly are is even a further question. It seems like there is a labor shortage, as Lowy points out, and the labor shortage simply leads to the demand higher. There's not enough people here to work in the United States and do certain jobs, and so a black market's created to fill these positions with other folks, and they come here and do the job, in spite of what, you know, government says about it. It's just happening time and again. So I'm not sure that the crisis as far as immigration, you know, people coming over here to work, is really as big a crisis as people claim. What is a crisis is when criminals come over the border, or terrorists, or other people that want to undermine our sovereignty as a nation and so forth. Those things are dangerous, and that's where we have to make a differentiation or distinction. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Here is an article, Katrina 1, FEMA 0, by Gary North. One of the things that has changed so much since September 11, says Vice President Dick Cheney in 2001, is the extent to which people do trust the government. Big shift, and value it. and have high expectations for what we can do. Maybe true, people are now trusting big government and what they can do. And at least that's according to Vice President Dick Cheney, October 19th, just after the September 11th attacks. The New Orleans disaster, more than any event in my lifetime, has revealed the utter incompetence of peacetime civil government at all levels. From the New Orleans Police Department to FEMA, it was a combination of bureaucratic betrayal and incompetence, says Gary North. Think of school buses that remain parked right where regulations specified. All gone now. Think of the performance of New Orleans Police Department, where 200 of the 1,500 members just quit. Think of the National Guard that was not called by the governor in time. Think of FEMA. We have now seen what to expect from civil government in a major crisis, even one for which there was advance warning. There is a lesson here that that only the politically blind will miss, and undoubtedly will, to the extent that you become dependent on some tax-funded bureaucracy to save you in a disaster, to that extent you become vulnerable to that disaster and also poorer because of the expense of the government's protection. To get some idea of what happened physically, take a look at some before and after satellite photos. And he says, go to the page and scroll down, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, he's certainly correct. He goes on to say, talk about Bastiat's ideas later on. He says, it's not cheap to rebuild New Orleans. The capital that goes to rebuild will not be used for to build something else. This is a massive loss, despite the economic nonsense about it being a shot in the construction industry's arm. Think of it as if Al-Qaeda had done it. Then no one would be talking about the event with a boost to capital spending. And he defers to Frederick Bastiat in this point. We talked about this the other day. A lot of people are talking about the economic benefits of Katrina because so many people will get jobs. And it's true. A lot of people will. But as with any crime, there's a capital destruction. People that would have spent money on other things or given dividends to shareholders or bought something else or saved some more are instead going to be forced to pay it out to rebuild an area like the New Orleans and southern Mississippi areas. That's going to be the destruction of capital, and sure, it's going to employ a large number of folks, and people are going to get brand new homes and all that out of it. And those are benefits, but in on net socially, it's a loss. It's a destruction of capital that could have been used elsewhere in the economy. So we need to be really careful about what we think about this economic shot in the arm. He has a great point, and he's right about government being a total failure in this. Appreciate Gary North's comments on this particular issue. Okay, well, we have a couple other articles that came in, of course, as we normally do. Here's the United States of Shame. This was published in the New York Times by Maureen Dowd. Stuff happens when you combine limited government with incompetent government. Lethal stuff happens. America is once more plunged into a snake pit of anarchy, death, looting, raping, marauding thugs, suffering innocents, and shattering infrastructure, a gutted police force, insufficient troop levels, and criminally negligent government planning. But this time it's happening in America. We drove his budget-cutting Chevy to the levee, and it wasn't dry. Bye-bye, American lies. I don't think anyone anticipated the breach of the levees, he told Diane Sawyer. Shirt sleeves rolled up. W finally landed in hell to yesterday and chuckled about his wild boozing days in the great city of New Orleans. He was clearly moved. You know, I'm going to fly out of here in a minute, he said on the runway of New Orleans International Airport. But I want you to know that I'm going to forget what I've seen. Okay, well, it's satirical. This little article by Maureen Dowd, but right again, as we see a complete failure of what government did in New Orleans. Here's a dismal reality. It wasn't supposed to be this way. I was traveling, it says the article, in China when pictures of the looters in New Orleans began to appear on CNN. They were black, of course, looting and raping and burning those what blacks do when the lid loosens. Is it really? Not all blacks, I hope. Yes, I could phrase it more cautiously. These things are what some blacks, etc., are more acutely. Not all blacks are looters, but looters, blah, blah, blah. Yes, it did happen time and again. There was Los Angeles burned in 1992. There have been Cincinnati, Miami, Seattle, Washington, D.C., Chicago, Detroit, Crown Heights, Watts, Newark, and so on and on. When the law loses its grips, the looting begins. We have come to expect it. Members of my tour group in China, to whom I spoke, assured me that looters were black before watching. They had seen it before. I knew it before I saw the pictures. The looters were always black, except when occasionally. I'm not sure why I'm even reading this. This came into my box this morning, and I'm not interested in pointing out any racial differences here. So I'm going to stop reading that article. Yeah, I'm sure there were black people looting, but so what? I mean, sin, from a Christian worldview, it makes no difference what color your skin is, folks. I hope everybody realizes that. And I should have pre-screened that article. I thought it was talking about the welfare state issue again and problems of crime enforcement failing. But seems like that article was more interested in talking about certain black people as opposed to other people looting. I don't know that that's the case or not. Maybe more black people in the welfare state and more black people are interested in looting other people. Could be. Don't know. Don't have a statistic on it, but I'm not going to point that out because from the Christian worldview, all human beings have the problem fundamentally of having the blood of Adam and Eve flowing through their veins, and that causes them to sin, causes them to steal, to loot, whatever else it might be. It's not simply the fact that you're of a certain race that leads you to become a criminal. And if that's what that article was getting at, I figured I should cut it short right away. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview, this 12th day of September 2005. Here to make your day a little bit brighter, and we hope indeed to help you think a little bit deeper. We're the station that really makes you think. We're the one who is the outside-the-box station, to be sure. And as I said, we're glad you've joined us here this morning. Before we go on, though, let's take a quick look at the weather for the upstate.
Well, right now in Greenville-Spartanburg, it's 62 degrees, downtown 63, Anderson 64, Clemson 64. Today, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 80s, and northeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour.
Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month on the library on Malden Road between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And we are very glad you've joined us here this morning, as I said. I think that the production staff, or the actually part of the Tyranny Response Network, did a great job this weekend of expanding the signal capabilities of some of our upstate the transmission, apparently. So you may have not gotten the signal well before, but from what I understand now, we have a signal going quite a ways down I-85 and quite a ways up, and even next week, hopefully Spartanburg will even come on board. So there is have been some changes lately, and we appreciate the want to give some accolades to the Tyranny Response Network staff for working so hard this weekend to improve the signal quality here in the upstate. If you have trouble hearing the network on 97.7 FM, be sure to try the alternate frequencies. The alternate frequencies are going to be also popping up in the upstate, apparently. 87.9 will be what you hear in Spartanburg. And if you don't hear us here in Greenville at 97.7, try 87.9. Also down towards Anderson County, 96.5, I believe, is the frequency that may be used in that area. So be sure to check out, if it's not today, tomorrow, or sometime this week and next, those other frequencies besides 97.7. I think you'll be delighted to hear the Tyranny Response Network going far and abroad to different frequencies in different areas. Why you say they have different frequencies? Well, apparently in different areas you can't use the same frequency, because there are, you know, in other areas other people already have those frequencies, as I understand it. So anyway, I'd like to appreciate the staff for all their hard work this past weekend. And also remember that Rippin' Richie has his Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse every weekday, or he tries to do it most weekday afternoons, 4:30 to 6 p.m. I'm not sure when he's going to continue the show in the afternoon. He's talking about changing the time. But for right now, it's from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Hope you can tune in on your drive time home to the Tyranny Response Network. Even during the day, it's worth listening to the recorded shows. We have the Cato Institute. We have John Staten Miller. We have, you know, American Radio. We have the Constitution Party and its various clips. We have good stuff on during the day. Of course, I like to encourage you all to listen to the Liberty Minutes programs. We have about 10 of them running that deal specifically with the theology of public policy, and as part of the teaching ministry, if we can call it that, of helping people understand what the Bible has to say about public policy and the Christian's response to it, the nature of the state, and so forth. You can listen to the Liberty Minutes and find out just what that means for you as an American. Do you have the right to defend yourself with the Second Amendment? Is it a righteous cause, or was it a righteous cause to have the American War for Independence against England? These are tough questions that Christians have a hard time answering. Well, you can hear me talking about these things in the Liberty Minutes programs throughout the day here on the Tyranny Response Network. So keep your radio dial tuned to 97.7 or 87.9 or 96.5, depending on where you are in the upstate. And by all means, take advantage of thinking a little bit better. So much better to think, really, and to be challenged in your thinking about things, and simply to listen to the blather of typical talk radio that goes on from the neocon world. What's the neocon world actually got you, Christian? Not a whole lot. The neocon world has brought you George W. Bush. It's brought you the same amount of abortion. It's brought you the continued erosion of liberty. It's brought you less and less freedom to educate your own children the way you would, and to stand up for God the way you believe is right. That's what the New World Order is bringing you. That's what you're getting here from G.W. Bush and his appointments to the judiciary and every other aspect and facet of the state now and nowadays. So at any rate, some encouraging words come from the Tyranny Response Network. We're a light, literally, a city that is set up on a hill that cannot be hid. We hope to be, at any rate, in comparison with all the other riffraff and nonsense out there. Right before we go to the break, I need to remind you all, I'm going to try to announce this several times today, that we have the Free Trade America, Free Trade Area of the Americas World Government is the Goal Conference by Mr. John F. McManus. It's going to be a critical speech talking about after CAFTA and what this New World Order is trying to do through these so-called free trade agreements. He's an experienced public speaker and the president emeritus of the John Birch Society. He now leads the national effort to stop the FTAA. His dinner speech will be tomorrow night. That's Tuesday, September 13th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. here in Greenville, South Carolina at the Hilton Hotel. That's at Haywood Road and I-385. Speech tickets are $10 each or two for $15. Make sure to show up 7 o'clock tomorrow if you can, Tuesday night, for Mr. John F. McManus talking critically about the FTAA. Of course, Bob Inglis voted for CAFTA. That's predecessor. This is the one, the forerunner for FTAA, and Bob Inglis sold out to the true conservatives in the upstate, showed his true colors. And anyway, we'll hear some real problems with the FTAA when you come to that meeting tomorrow night. Hope you can make it. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And I'll tell you who's afflicting the comfortable these days is the academic world. It should be no surprise. Brainwashing in Academia, the Resident Assistant's Tale by Athena Carey. As a resident assistant student counselor in an undergraduate dorm in a well-known Catholic university, I was anything but surprised at Kevin Carter's recent article, Brainwashing Backfires in Academia. The diversity training in which Carter was forced to participate is a staple of student activities at universities spanning the country, and it's even worse from the inside. As a student employee of the university, I've been force-fed diversity indoctrination nonstop. When I was first interviewed for an RA job, a group of us were given the task of designing an ideal at Residence Hall. Our interviews observed our ability to work together. When we presented our design, an ivy-covered dorm spiraling like the Guggenheim, complete with rooftop garden and swimming pool, a small theater, game room, state-of-the-art study spaces, and printing center, our interviews were impressed by our creativity and enthusiasm. But they asked two questions. How do you address the needs of non-Christian students who may need worship space? And how would you engage or encourage any students who may not support GLBTQA to become, I don't know, I'm sure what that is, to become persons of care? Oh, here they're going to tell us GLBTQA, persons of care. These terms were foreign to me, and the context clues weren't serving me well. I stepped back and let my fellow students stumble and stutter their way through some confused answers. None of us were hired. Last year I applied again from the same position and again went through the same interview process, but this time I saw it coming. I included in my imaginary residence hall a mosque, a prayer room, a temple, a chapel, and a rainbow room for what I now know as the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual, queer, and asexual community. There wasn't room for the theater, the game room, or the printing center, but hey, I was hired. So since my hire, I've been required to sit through mandatory hours of safe space training. Safe space means creating a supportive environment for GLB, etc. I've been given more than 70 pages of literature on how to develop safe spaces. I've also received a glossary of terms that are acceptable and not acceptable to use in my position. Boyfriend and girlfriend are out unless you use in conjunction, as in, do you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, and thereby avoiding the assumption of heterosexuality. My emails, online profiles, and bedroom decorations are subject to inspection if I am suspected of violating any diversity policy. I was told to place myself on something called the Riddle Homophobia Scale. I chose the acceptance level. As it turned out, tolerance and acceptance are still considered homophobic, implies there is something to accept. Ultimately, I was told I should aim to find myself nurturing GLBTQA, whatever that is. Does anybody know what that is? Wherein I will realize that gay lesbian people are indispensable to our society and will view GLBTQAs with genuine affection and delight, manifested in an eagerness to be an ally of advocate for their community. I was expected to sign, she says, a statement that said, among other things, I am committed to educating myself and others about oppression, heterosexism, and homophobia, and combating them on a personal level. I am committed to working toward providing a safe, confident, supportive network for members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community. I am the product of a heterosexist culture, and I am who I am. I do not have to feel guilty about what I know or believe, but I do need to take responsibility for what I can know I can do now. I will struggle to change my false, inaccurate beliefs or oppressive attitudes toward gay, lesbian, and bisexual and transgender people. And this was at a Catholic university. Well, guess what? So what? But on the top, why in the world would you sign such a thing? Or sign it with anything other than, you are fools, you are ridiculous hedonists, you are people who do not know anything about the Christian worldview, I object, you know, write something on the page, but you can't sign this kind of thing. I can't believe anybody actually did sign such a thing. The producer, what does that mean? Go ahead and tell us, turn on your mic and tell us what that means for a minute. Our producer Daniel can tell us what GLBTD, whatever that is.
It means gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, questioning, and allied.
Oh, now we know. Gay, lesbian, transgendered, questioning, and allied. Well, I'm glad somebody informed me. I learned a new acronym today, GLBTQA. I'm going to hopefully forget that as soon as possible, because that's too long to remember, and it's too disgusting to think about. But at any rate, okay. So we have alive and well multiculturalism and so forth, and this kind of nonsense that goes on at even Catholic universities. We're not surprised by this here in America, but it's going on alive and well. Oh, brother, can you believe it? Here's another quick article, changing the subject slightly. Why We Fight, from Ron Paul. Ron Paul, one of our favorites. This is before the U.S. House of Representatives on September 8th. He says many reasons, or he said many reasons have been given for why we fight and our youth must die in Iraq. The reasons now given for why we must continue this war bear no resemblance to the reasons given to gain the support of the American people and the United States Congress prior to our invasion in March of 2003. Before the war, we were told we faced an imminent threat to our national security from Saddam Hussein. This rationale, now proven grossly mistaken, has been changed. Now we're told we must honor the fallen by completing the mission. To do otherwise would demean the sacrifice of those who have died or been wounded. Any lack of support for completing the mission is said by the promoters of the war to be unpatriotic, un-American, and detrimental to the troops. They insist the only way one can support the troops is to never waver on the policy of nation-building, no matter how ill-founded that policy may be. The obvious flaw in this argument is that the mission, which they so reverently speak, has changed constantly from the beginning. Though most people think this war started in March 2003, the seeds were sown many years before. The actual military conflict involving U.S. troops against Iraq began in January 1991. The prelude to this actually dates back over 100 years, when the value of Middle East oil was recognized by the industrial West. Our use of troops to eject Saddam Hussein from Kuwait was the beginning of the current conflict with Muslim fundamentalists, who have been for the last decade determined to force their removal of American troops from all Muslim countries, especially the entire Arabian Peninsula, which they consider holy. Through their strategic and historic reasons for our involvement, the strategic and historic reasons for our involvement in the Middle East are complex, the immediate reasons given in 2002 and 2003 for our invasion of Iraq were precise. The only problem is they were not based on facts. In other words, Ron Paul is saying we made huge mistakes. And of course, he's speaking to the rest of the congressmen, trying to help these people realize, look, if you're really so gullible to blink we went over there based on facts, you got to wake up. It's not the case at all. And he concludes his article by saying, a powerful bureaucratic military state negates all efforts to preserve the conditions that have served America so well up till recent times. That is not what the American dream is all about. Without a change in attitude, the American dream dies. A simple change that restates the principles of liberty enshrined in our Constitution will serve us up well in solving the problems we face. The American people are up to the task. I hope Congress is as well. And we appreciate Ron Paul's comments. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Wanted to remind you to sign the Fundamental Rights Petition for South Carolina to protect your private property. Go to the tyrannyresponse.com website, tyrannyresponse.net website. Scroll down to the bottom, towards the bottom where it says South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. Take you 30 seconds to sign this thing. And sign the petition. Why not? What can it hurt you to sign? It takes 30 seconds of your time, and it shows some support, some rousing support for liberty here in America. So please go to tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net under the related media tab and sign there. Also want to remind you that the Times Examiner, on that same link, the Times Examiner is the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists, you can try the Times Examiner, which supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property, and gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy at 44 Pine Knoll Drive of the Times Examiner. A full year subscription is only $25, and it's $27 if you're out of state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576 to get your subscription started. If you want to place an ad, call David directly at 864-859-6817. That's David at 864-859-6817 and get your ad placed in the Times Examiner. Great columnists there, great columns. You can read it all, you know, all the time. When you pick up that paper, you'll enjoy it every week. My column is on page 10, and this month is featuring the theology of nations and nationalism, and next month will be the theology, or not theology, but the nature of the state. So a good column series coming up for Thinking Christians, and hope that you'll have a look in those places and for those columns. Well, I've just spent several hours, says one email I received, observing teenagers hanging out in a local mall. I came to the conclusion that many teenagers in America today are living in poverty. Most young men I observed didn't even own a belt. There was not one among the whole group. But that wasn't the sad part. Many were wearing their daddy's jeans. Some jeans were so big and baggy they hung down low on their hips, exposing their underwear. I know some must have been ashamed their daddy was short, because his jeans hardly went over their knees. They weren't even their daddy's good jeans, for most had holes ripped in the knees and a dirty look to them. It grieved me, in a modern affluent society like America, that there are people who can't afford a decent pair of jeans. I was thinking about asking my church to start a jeans drive for poor kids at the mall. Then on Christmas Eve, I could go shopping or Christmas caroling and distribute jeans to these poor teenagers. But here's the saddest part. It was the girls that were hanging out with the out that disturbed me most. I never in all my life seen such poverty-stricken girls. These girls had the opposite problem of the guys. They all had to wear their little sister's clothes. Their jeans were about five sizes too small. I don't know how they could even put them on, let alone button them up. Their jeans barely went over their hip bones. Most also had their little sister's top. It didn't even cover their midsections. Oh, they were trying to hold their heads up with pride, but it was a sad sight to see these almost grown women wearing children's clothes. However, it was their underwear that bothered me the most. They, like the boys, because of the improper fitting of their clothes, had their underwear exposed. I never saw anything like it. It looked like their underwear was held together by only a single piece of string. I know it saddens your heart to receive this report on the condition of our American teenagers. When I go to bed every night with the closet full of clothes nearby, there are millions of mall girls who barely have enough material to keep it together. Think of their poorness is why these two groups gather at the mall, boys with their short daddy's ripped jeans and girls wearing their younger sister's clothes. The mall is one place where they can go to find acceptance. So next time you're at the mall doing your shopping and you pass by some of these poor teenagers, would you say a prayer for them? And one more thing, will you pray for the guys' pants won't fall down and the girls' strings won't break? Thank you to all from a grandmother. Well, we appreciate the grandmother, unnamed, who wrote that in. I suppose there's a lot a lot of truth written between the lines there from grandma. Appreciate that comment. Well, we have the new video that came out at pentagonstrike.co.uk, pentagonstrike.co.uk. Of course, that's a web page. If you go there, you're going to find video questioning whether, you know, that a plane actually hit the Pentagon. Some people are saying it was a missile. Essentially, they're saying, look, how could a plane, a 757, fly 2 feet off the ground in the first place, which is what they say happened, and go straight through the Pentagon as it did without leaving any trace of an airplane? No seats, no wings, no jet fuel, nothing. And these nice little round holes, instead of having, you know, you'd think the wing would have made a slight distortion, at least to the way the hole would be shaped. Looks more like a missile strike. And when you look at the website and listen to the little video they put up there, it's fairly compelling. I'd like to talk to somebody who might know more about the Pentagon strike on 9/11. Maybe it was really not an airplane that hit it. I don't know if my question is, well, where'd the plane go? I mean, wasn't it like Flight 88 or something like that from American? Did that plane disappear? Is American Airlines in on some kind of conspiracy? Well, this video online doesn't answer any of those questions, but I'd be interested in knowing. If you know something about it, give us a call at 864-244-8177. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to the last half hour of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, the 12th day of September 2005. And as always, we're glad you've joined us. Let's take a look at what the upstate weather is doing for us today.
All right, in Greenville, Spartanburg, it's 63 degrees, downtown 63, Anderson 64, Clemson 64. Today, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 80s, and northeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour.
Here's some more news on Katrina, or some more insights, I suppose. This I received from a poster, Liz, on the Libertarian Christians email list, which is a good email group to join, by the way. Whether you be a libertarian or a constitutionalist or a Christian, it's always good to find out what thinking Christians who claim to be libertarians, like me, have to say, I think, anyway. Liz says the following. We received a postcard from Community Baptist Church, which is just down the road from us here in Stewart. Not sure where Stewart is, and maybe it's not important. The front of the card had a picture of people in military uniforms, police officers and firefighters, and invited us to join Community Baptist Church for a very special service to honor our men and women in uniform. The back of the card went to invite any and all who have served their country to come to the service in uniform. To say I was disgusted would be putting it mildly. All I could think about was this postcard would have had to an unbeliever who received it in his mailbox. I continue to be amazed that so many people who say they follow Christ can so easily justify war and the taking of human lives. I'm part of the Yahoo group for local Christian homeschooling families. The other day, a woman posted asking for prayer to help her and her husband deal with their empty nest feelings they have because their 18-year-old son joined the military and they just dropped him off for basic training. The group was filled with responses of how they should be so proud of their son defending our freedom and sacrificing our country. Did this Christian mom ever stop to consider that her son could very likely be put in that situation of having to take the life of another human being? Even if you could argue it's justified, which would be very difficult with the current war on terror, is she ready to deal with the trauma and emotional damage that will likely do to her son if he manages to survive this time in the military? It's hard to imagine him coming out of a spiritually and emotionally unscathed. It must be reading the abridged version of the Bible, because mine doesn't say thou shalt kill, unless you are killing an enemy combatant, or love thine enemy, unless the president tells you otherwise. I just don't understand what the American Christian acceptance of and fascination with war. Well, it all comes from the heart, the sinful heart. On the other hand, although Liz sounds a bit pacifistic to me, and I thought this had to do with New Orleans, by the way, it has to do with the Iraq War, in the wrong box, but that's okay, it's still a good story. I think that murder, in self-defense is always a tough thing to do. It's never easy for us to shoot anybody, but ultimately, when it comes down to us or them, when it's the criminal or the predator being able to kill us, whether it be in the government or otherwise, or the state or otherwise, we have to be able to pull the trigger, and it's tough. It's tough having to defend ourselves against other human beings, and although it does leave some scars and to some extent for any time we have to take another human life, and hopefully many of us will never have to in our lives, yet we realize it is a necessary evil in the world that is full of evil, that self-defense, supported in the scripture, is something that we must undertake. Of course, what George W. Bush is having people do is effectively murdering people, going around the globe and attacking countries that have not aggressed us, like Iraq, and causing all sorts of pandemonium in that place. And that is a different issue. For that, you would not feel very justified, to say the least. Well, here is another article. This does have to do with Katrina. From Chris, she sent in an email saying, God and Katrina, it is most unpalatable to suggest divine wrath, but biblically there is such a thing, and to assume that such godly interference with evil will never happen again in our enlightened age is folly. And this, of course, is true. Did God actually cause the hurricane? Yes, because the Bible says in Isaiah 45:7 that God creates calamity. That's what it clearly says. The Lord brings calamity on people, and we have to grapple with the fact of God's sovereignty. That is what the sovereign God has chosen to do. Why did he do it? Well, because he's good, because he believes that there's a way or that it will cause more people of his people to become sanctified, to have opportunity to give, that many will come to Christ because of the tragedy. So God was in this. Whether or not it was specifically designed as terrestrial judgment or wrath against any particular group is something we don't know, not being from the mind, not having the mind of God ourselves. But it could well be the case. Well, what else have we got on Katrina? Seems like we have here, New Orleans tackles the grim cleanup task. This came out yesterday's news. In New Orleans, cadaver dogs and boatloads of forensic workers fanned out yesterday across New Orleans to collect the corpses left behind by Hurricane Katrina. Cleanup crews towed away abandoned cars even began readying a hotel for reopening, despite missing 300 officers from a 1,750-strong force. Police Chief Eddie Compass was upbeat as he reported that 200 arrests have been made since the hurricane. "We definitely are in control of the city," said Chief Compass said. "We've been told we've been almost crime-free for the last 4 days. The confirmed death toll in Louisiana stood at 154 persons, including some patients on life support who died when power went out. But the toll was expected to climb as crews collected bodies trapped in houses and floating in murky water. But it was supposed to be, 10,000 people died? And guess what? Doesn't look like the death toll is going to be quite that high. Interesting. Mississippi Guard, another story. Mississippi National Guard troops have been refused leaves. Baghdad, September 10th. Scores of Mississippi National Guard troops in Iraq who lost their homes to Hurricane Katrina have been refused even 15-day leaves to aid their displaced families. Told by commanders, there were too few U.S. troops in Iraq to spare them, according to members of the Mississippi Guard. About 600 members of the Mississippi Guard's 155th Brigade Combat Team posted in the south of Baghdad in the area of the town known as the Triangle of Death for the frequency of insurgency attacks there live in parts of southern Mississippi and southern Louisiana hardest hit by Katrina. So the government's not letting them go home to help their families, unfortunately. It's a sad tragedy all the way around. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's time for a break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Lots of other conspiracy stories have come up. One of them came on the Hal Turner show by the Hal Turner Radio Network. Not sure who that is, but he says explosive residue was found on the failed levee debris. Ruptured New Orleans levee had help failing. he says. The story has been updated as of Saturday, September 10th, and he says, according to well-placed sources, a military forensic expert specialist determined that burn marks on current chucks did indeed, excuse me folks, just a minute, we're trying to read an article that had to scroll in an odd way to get it, determined that burn marks on cement chucks did in fact come from high explosives. The source, speaking on condition of anonymity, said, "We found traces of boron-enhanced fluorotramino explosives as well as PBX-111 embedded in the debris. This would indicate that at least two separate types of explosive devices. The levee ruptures in New Orleans did not take place during Hurricane Katrina, but a day after the hurricane struck. Several residents of New Orleans and emergency workers reported hearing what sounded like a large, muffled explosions from the area of the levee, but those were initially discounted as gas explosions from homes leaking gas lines." Well, it's interesting that the thought here, because as I've always said all along, some people are claiming governments can create hurricanes and earthquakes. This, I think, is a little bit bizarre. I don't think that anyone has the ability to harness that kind of natural disaster. But the U.S. government, that is the state that we live under, is certainly opportunistic. It wouldn't surprise me if they would do such a thing. I don't know if this is true, but I thought I'd read it on the air here and throw it out to anyone who might have a comment about it, whether there was actually explosives used to rupture the levees in New Orleans and make this thing even worse than it was. Interesting. Could be the case. Don't know. Just throwing it out there as a story from this Hal Turner show. I want to remind everybody once again that tomorrow night there will be a dinner speech Tuesday, September 13th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. in Greenville, South Carolina, against the FTAA, that's the Free Trade Area of the Americas, called After CAFTA, the World Government is the Goal. This will be a speech by John F. McManus, an experienced public speaker and the President Emeritus of the John Birch Society. Speech tickets are $10. Two for $15. It's going to be held at the Hilton Hotel tomorrow night. That's Tuesday, the 13th. Get off at Haywood Road and from I-385, and you'll see it right there, the Hilton Hotel. 7 o'clock. If you can make it, I think you'll be glad you did. Hear about the free trade area of the Americas and what the globalist socialist regime is trying to do to our country. Here's another story about some other things going on with behind the scenes. Anything that comes from Alex Jones, I know, has something conspiratorial to it. And Alex Jones, one of his web pages was sent in to me. He says the following: "The balloon has gone up. The shoe has dropped. Anyone doubting the criminal intentions of the social engineer control freaks in Washington need only look at the middle class neighborhoods being stormed by black masked, wearing jacked boots on a mission to steal guns. This is a precedent-setting case for a national gun confiscation. This is a clear declaration of war by the federal government against the American people. This is exactly how Lexington and Concord started the Revolutionary War in 1775, Alex Jones." Isn't it odd that these gun... The NRA sent out this news brief also, or something similar. Can you imagine that? The United States government showing up with, military fatigues and just disarming people, just taking away their weapons under the guise of this natural disaster. Why are we hearing more about this? Why in the world do you need to take away people's guns? It's the most ridiculous thing if it's to stop crime. If somebody's going to be looting your house or your neighborhood, you want to have guns. Take the guns away from looters, okay, but to take them away from private citizens is absurd. It's just like the little sign they put on the bank or whatever, no concealable weapons allowed. Well, folks, criminals that walk in with guns don't care if there's a sign on there. If they're going to go in and shoot somebody, they're not going to stop because there's a little, pistol with a crossed out pistol on the window. What's going to do is keep people from normally carrying their guns, who are law-abiding citizens, from carrying those weapons into the post office or a bank or wherever else. And if they had those guns and somebody came in and started engaging in some criminal activity, shooting people or whatnot, then they would have the ability to defend themselves and others around them against the criminal and shoot them. It's absurd to take away the guns from law-abiding citizens. Now, why in the world are Americans willing to give up their guns to a bunch of American soldiers there? The Second Amendment gives them the right to keep and bear arms, so why in the world are we giving up those arms? It's really bizarre, and this has not been talked about very much. It seems to me to be a great tragedy when we lose the right to bear arms so easily. And Alex Jones, I think, has a very good point on this issue. Well, one more discussion on the thing we talked about right before the Pentagon, before the half hour break at the bottom of the hour, was did a missile really strike the Pentagon? And I'd sent an email off asking people about what happened to the plane and so forth, because it doesn't seem like a plane hit it if you look at the video footage at that site we put up earlier. But this responder, Robin, said, I'm not sure if Robin's a man or a woman. Yes, I've looked into this information before. He's talking to me. There is something going on, and it's not just a crackpot conspiracy. I know of other information about this strike on the Pentagon, if you want it. Government is our biggest enemy, not our friend. I personally believe the government was part of this and the neocons. They need a problem for the Americans, something to scare them and enrage them against other countries. This is a new Pearl Harbor. They need to turn Americans into brown shirts, and they got what they wanted. I know there is war coming, and it will be here on our own soil. Well, I sure hope not. That website again is www.pentagonstrike.co.uk. That's pentagonstrike.co.uk. Go ahead and take a look at that. It's interesting stuff. It doesn't seem like a plane hit it, but nobody still answered for me where the plane went. I mean, there was no seats, no jet fuel found. There was no sign of the plane at the site. That's true. But where'd it go? I mean, was there really a missing flight, American Airlines flight? Wasn't it American Airlines Flight 88? I don't remember the flight number, but someone can enlighten us here at Christian Worldview. We'd like to talk about that. 864-244-8177. And we're going to jump to a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we try to do that right here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben every morning. Well, the Supreme Court nomination is, to replace Rehnquist, of course, is hot in the news. again. The neocons are out and talking about how, in honor of Justice Rehnquist, we must fight for the confirmation of John Roberts. But we don't agree that we have to fight for the nomination of John Roberts. We would like to see somebody who's truly conservative or truly libertarian, somebody who really upholds the values and the ideals of the founding fathers instead. These same people who laud John Roberts are also lauding, in a sense, as it says here in the article, the 1992 court ruling Planned Parenthood versus Casey, where Justices Sandra Day O'Connor, Souter, and Kennedy stated in the majority opinion, at the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, whatever that means, of meaning, the universe, and the mystery of human life. This is secular humanist principles against the Christian worldview. That's what we get on the Supreme Court of the United States. Should be no surprise to any of us. The Libertarian Party, interesting, one of our research staff pulled out something from 1994. The Supreme Court latest ratings in Supreme 1990, in 1994 showed an inconsistency on liberty. This was by Don Ernsberger. Don Ernsberger said that the latest session of the United States Supreme Court saw an inconsistent approach to personal and economic liberty by the entire court and by almost all of its members. And as far as they were concerned, they said Justice Rehnquist, who fell into a 10% economic and 30% personal area, the worst on the court this session. So they looked at Justice Rehnquist back in 1994 and evaluated his doings as being pretty poor quality. At least that comes from the Libertarian Party news archives, interestingly enough. So what do we think about these judicial appointments? Well, we've got here the Supreme Court Historical Society Publications, talking about some of these nominees and issues. John F. Franks, in his address in 1976, had the following to say to the, and this is addressed to the annual banquet of the Supreme Court Historical Society. More than 125 times, the United States has been called upon to advise and consent to a presidential appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court justice. 100 of the appointees were confirmed, the others were denied consent. Which is interesting. So that gives Roberts historically about an 80% chance. The confirmation process is an American institution of infinite variety. For illustration of the short and the long of it, in 1869, President Grant appointed Lincoln as Secretary of War, Edwin M. Stanton, to the court. Confirmation was immediate. 4 days later, Stanton died before he ever took his oath, which is good for America because that was an evil man. At the opposite end of the poll, the fight over appointment of Justice Louis Brandeis in 1916 lasted 6 months. Happily, the justice made it worthwhile, serving 23 years. Confirmation controversies have been of every complexion. There have been petty, when 1893 Senator David B. Hill of New York successfully blocked two Cleveland appointees from the New York State because they were not politically satisfactory to the senator. Each of the two had been involved in uncovering corruption among the senator's followers. When the second New York name went in and faced the same opposition, President Cleveland made it very clear that if the New York senators held their ground, there would be no appointment from New York. They did hold their ground, and Cleveland appointed Senator Edward Douglas White of Louisiana, who was confirmed within an hour. So it's a lot of politicizing that goes on when it comes down to picking a Supreme Court justice. We know that to be the case. Do principles ever matter? Doing what's right or picking the right guy, the best person to uphold the Constitution, really matter? No, that's not the way politics works. Politics is the rewarding through the political power of special interest groups. It always has been. It always will be as long as we have a state. That's why we need to get back to a limited constitutional government, what the framers envisioned, where you wouldn't have these special interest pressures that began around the time of Lincoln and have gotten bigger ever since, that simply rule the country with their own desires. Not only do they buy senators' votes indirectly, but there is pressure constantly applied from the parties to uphold a particular point of view or a particular standard so that the other party doesn't get elected or get installed with their particular vision of things. So we have a lobbying interest. We have political action committees dominating the landscape. It's said that there are 19,000 special interest groups in Washington, D.C., and that a senator or congressman can go and be well fed, never once having to go to the grocery store, because he can literally go to a breakfast event, a lunch event, and a dinner event every day that he is in Washington and be fed for free by various political action committees, special interest groups pushing and vying for their particular agenda. That's what you get in Washington, and that's what we're seeing with political appointments. Don't think that Judge Roberts is anything more than a political payoff from coming from George W. Bush. That's all it is, folks. It's not a matter of trying to find the right guy that'll uphold the Constitution or even to appease the evangelical right. The evangelical right has no idea what they're getting, and they're going to be surprised when they find out that they've got another suitor on their hands with this appointment and the one that George W. Bush will come in with after this one. Well, we appreciate you listening this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's been a good morning, good way to start in Monday here in the upstate of South Carolina. Let me just in closing remind you to also put on your calendars and think about the fact that the Christian Exodus, one of our great supporters here at TRN and somebody we would support greatly, the Christian Exodus is coming to town with a conference starting on October 14th and really the main conference date, October 15th. Put it on your calendar, and if you can, get in touch with somebody here at somebody at ChristianExodus.org and buy your tickets. They're only $30 if you buy them before, I think, the 15th of September, $40 afterwards. Sign up for the Christian Exodus Conference on October 15th. You'll be glad you did, and we hope to see you there. I'll be one of the keynote speakers. Be looking forward to it. Thank you for joining us today with Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll see you again for another edition tomorrow morning. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.